Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark. Eerie Encounters, Volume 4, Story 1. All right. This happened to me when I was 7 years old and my parents thought I was dreaming. Until 4 years later, policemen were attacked by the exact same thing at a nearby town, and it made national news. I shared a room with my sister when I was 7. It was about 1 a.m. and I couldn't sleep. So I was just staring at the wall when I see something move by the door. Someone is coming in very slowly. And it's dark, so it takes some time for me to realize who it is. It's a woman with a big pointy hat. I think it's my cousin who lived with us, but she isn't that short. The only way it would be her is if she was walking on her knees. As I look down to see if that's the case, I realize she's not touching the floor at all. And even though I can tell she has an old woman face, that is definitely not a human face. Her eyes are too big and she's expressionless. She is very slowly heading and turning to where my sister is sleeping, and I'm just trying not to move at all. She reached her bed and stood there looking down at her, and then I moved and made a sound. And the thing turned her head to me just like that. Her huge eyes are making eye contact with me for a second, and the next thing I know, she just went out of the room, almost flying, really effing fast. After that, I covered myself with a blanket. So I told my parents the next day, and obviously they didn't believe me. A midget woman with a pointy hat, huge eyes, and a dress floating in my room is too random. So after some years, I started thinking I was maybe dreaming or something. Fast forward 4 years, and in the news there is a cop who was attacked by a witch in a city 3 hours away from where I live. He saw something coming from the sky, floating and landing on the roof of the car he was in. Then it tried to get in through the window and started to scratch him, pull him. He ended up passing out. And in the interview, he says, she was dressed in black and had big eyes, dark skin, and had a pointy hat. She was flying on its own. They showed the drawings they made when the victim described what they saw. And it was the exact same thing I saw. There has also been sightings in 2010 by another cop, and the descriptions matched too. He also mentioned it had superhuman speed. And obviously a bunch of people started to fake related stuff since the news got relatively big. This happened in Mexico, by the way. After I saw the news, I couldn't sleep well for a week. In fact, I have to admit, I had to sleep with my parents a couple of times. By the way, this is 100% real. I'm really skeptic about stuff like this. But after this experience, man, there are things out there that truly have no explanation. Story number 2. As someone who has no reason to believe in ghosts, I will share a little shaker. A few years ago, it was the winter season, my boyfriend and I were working in an old chalet in a French mountain village. We lived with another guy who also worked in the chalet last year before that. He told us that two separate guests on different weeks staying in bedrooms on the ground floor reported seeing a ghost standing at the end of their bed. One said they saw the ghost, apparently a girl, turn and walk through the wall. My boyfriend and I shrugged this off. I figured that seeing a figure at the end of your bed has got to be one of those common half-sleep delusions, and that if it bothered people, there would be, really, in truth, a ton of explanations. The chalet is a little gloomy and rustic in places, with some interesting features in the downstairs bedroom, such as an ornate clock built into the wall, a bricked-up fireplace, a slate-floored corridor with a medieval-looking slate trapdoor, etc. All things that point to it simply being pretty old and a little quirky. Well, 3 months into the season, we had pretty much forgotten about the supposed haunting, having not heard anything from our guests, that was, until one day. I was standing around with our guests waiting for their airport transfer to arrive when one guy asked how old the chalet is. Having no idea, I said that as they were leaving today, I didn't mind telling him that the place was supposedly haunted. And before I could snicker and roll my eyes, the other guests in the hall gasped and started telling me that Gaz, who was staying in the bedroom upstairs, saw someone standing over Natalie's bed in the middle of the night. He pulled out his phone light to see who it was, and when he shot into the room, there was nothing there. The bedroom upstairs has four single beds, and the four of them staying up there had spent the morning investigating the angles and mirrors in the room, trying to see if anything could have tricked them. It all concluded that from where he was lying, there was an uninterrupted view of Natalie's bed and no mirrors in sight. So, three separate incidents of this being reported, but the third was from a different perspective. Now, I've just realized that Natalie, sleeping below the figure's gaze, would have been oblivious to its presence had Gaz not woken up and seen it. How frequently does this happen? My boyfriend and I lived on the floor above this room. Then, a few weeks later, about 4, my boyfriend asked me if I'd heard anything weird at about 4 a.m., as he'd heard something coming up the stairs to our staff area. Wide carpeted, slat-like stairs with layout-wise are directly behind the head of our bed. He heard something padding around outside our bedroom door, then quickly head back down the stairs to the first level and finally down the distinctively creaky wooden stairs to the ground level. This creeped me out, as no other staff were staying upstairs. The driver had quit his job. However, we just had our last change of guests, three families with 5 excitables under 11 years of age that were with them. So we began to convince ourselves that as this was the first night, it was possible that one of the kids got confused in the night, though in truth, that was quite a stretch. A week later, after the guest had left, and it was the first night that the chalet was completely empty besides us, my boyfriend wakes me up at 4 a.m. with the words, "Can you hear that?" And I effing could. The sound of small, fast-moving feet, like a child's, on the stairs right behind our heads. We heard it go down the stairs and disappear. At this point, my boyfriend stood up to go to our locked door, and instead I convinced him to shut the window to quiet the sound of the river so that we could hear anything else. He was sure there was someone in the chalet, having walked in on a burglar himself, but through that extremely thin wall right behind our heads, it hadn't sounded like an adult intent on robbing the chalet. It was the weirdest next few hours of sleep. Waking up, talking, he became convinced it was someone in the apartment that was sandwiched below our staff area and the ground floor guest rooms, which I allowed him to believe until the sweet light of morning when I told him that the shutters had been shut, and still were, for well over a week, and no cars had been in the spaces. We still had no idea what we heard. I know what it sounded like, and that we both heard it. Unmistakably, though we tried to kill it ourselves, something was there. Story number 3. I was hitchhiking across the country. This one night, I was trying to get the hell out of Colorado. It's a long story. And it was stormy as shit. It was cold and wet, and I hadn't seen a car for at least 30 minutes. It was raining so hard, I could only see a few feet ahead. Out of nowhere, this car stops beside me. I hopped in and went to thank the driver, only to realize that there wasn't a driver in the car at all. Then the car started moving very slowly. There was a curve ahead. I thought for sure the car was going to run off the edge of the cliff. I was in full-on panic mode, and I couldn't move. I damn near pooped myself. Then, just before the cart hit the safety rail, a hand appeared from the window and turned the wheel. This happened a few more times before I got my shit together and took the opportunity to escape. I booked it, full-on adrenaline rush. Before I knew it, I was at a gas station on the edge of some dinky town. I was soaking wet and freaked out. I started to tell the guy at the gas station what had just happened. He hooked me up with some hot coffee and we swapped stories for a little while. That's when, from the haze of the rainstorm, I see three guys walking up to the cashier. One of them says to the other, "Look, it's the weirdo that jumped in the car while we were pushing it." Next story. When I was a kid, like many kids, I had an imaginary friend. His name was John, and as I was a lonely child, he was my best friend. We would play outside together, and he would promise to grow me apple trees and give me the apples. He was an older man with slick back white hair who wore a white t-shirt, jeans, and red suspenders with work boots. He told me he'd been working forever and it was his turn to rest. He told me he'd work with wood, first in a mill and then in a factory. He said it was much more fun to hang out with me than to work. He seemed to love being outdoors, as most of my memories involved him being outside with me. He was always saying, "Oh, sweetheart, come over here and see this rose," and things like that. One day, John showed up while I was outside playing. I was maybe 6 years old. He told me it was time for him to be heading off. I asked him where he was going. He told me he didn't know. He was going to get his car and drive until he felt like stopping. "Maybe I'll build a house and settle down wherever I choose to stop." I remembered feeling happy that he was going to go off on an adventure. It seemed fun to me, and I was excited for him. I waved goodbye, and he walked off toward the road, never to be seen again. When I was a teenager, my mom went on the hunt for her biological family. Family was always a very terse talking point for her. She had few memories of her biological family. She was taken from them at age 5 and had been badly abused by her adoptive mother. I never pressed her to talk about the subject at all. After some digging, though, old family acquaintances in her hometown, she found her younger sister, Rita. She was able to track down her number, and we gave her a call. My grandma was pregnant with Rita at the time her other children were taken by social services due to a lack of funds, food, housing, for 8 kids. As such, Rita was the only child who got to stay with her family. My mother and I rushed down to see her immediately after finding out she lived not 30 minutes from us. When we got there, my Aunt Rita had all her photo albums spread out in front of her. She pointed to photo after photo. "This is our grandmother. This is our Uncle Frank, etc." My mom asked to see some photos of their parents, and my aunt obliged. We were both so excited. It's so surreal to meet people who look like you and share some of your mannerisms for the very first time. When we flipped through pictures of my grandfather, I choked up. The pictures got more recent and more recent leading up to his death in the 1970s. It became more and more apparent to me that he was very familiar. I asked my aunt what his name was. "John Jackson." I had to struggle to keep my composure, as I now knew exactly who John was. I held it together. I didn't want to look crazy in front of my new family, but I guess Aunt Rita could sense a curiosity in me. She said that my presence reminded her a lot of him. He was always so kind and adventurous. I agreed excitedly. "Yes, I love adventures. I love going on trips." "Yeah, you got a lot of his blood in you. He was funny, too. He used to tell us he was going to get in his sports car and drive and drive. And wherever he stopped, he was going to build the house and live there." As it turns out, my grandfather was my ghost friend when I was a kid. Next story. My parents bought an old house with the intent of renovating it, and they did. It's fabulous. Before it was renovated, my dad and I stayed there for a while. Doors would open and shut completely while we stood there chatting and watching. Now, I understand a door swinging open, shut one way, especially if there was an open window or the floors are warped, etc. But this wasn't the case. We'd just be sitting there chatting away and kind of slowly trail off in conversation, watching as the door went click and swung open, and then swung quietly shut and click closed. Didn't stop us from staying and sleeping there, though. After it was renovated, there would be creepy sounds. Sounds like the cutlery in the sink being moved around. I understand there might be noises from pipes, so I was going to discount that, but it's creepy as hell to be sitting there reading a book and hear clink, scrape right behind you in the sink. And of course, when you go to the sink and look in, you're pretty sure the fork has been moved from one side to another, but you won't. Trust your memory. And there were sounds like someone walking across the floor. Dad and I would be sitting downstairs talking. The TV was on mute during a commercial, and we would hear a sound like someone run across the floor directly above us. We kind of looked up and looked at each other and laughed. We knew the house was locked. There were no animals. It's not the sound of the house settling or the ventilation. Then there was a time that I was there alone. It was around 12:30 a.m., and suddenly, right above my head upstairs, was a sound of heavy men's boots stomping across the floor and stopping at the head of the stairs, which was literally a few feet from where I was sitting. I froze in terror. I was alone there. It was late at night, and I was convinced someone had somehow broken into the house and was standing there in darkness at the top of the stairs, waiting for me to make my move. There wouldn't be enough time for me to make a break for the back door. So what did I do? I reached for the phone and called my mommy, like the scaredy cat that I am. And while she was on the phone with me, I checked the house from top to bottom. Everything was locked. Nobody was there. My mom mocked me and hung up. However, I did not sleep well that night. Next story. But what I'm about to describe was a life-changing experience for me, one that shook my ideas of spirituality deeply. And here it is. I was in bed with my girlfriend. This was around June of 2006. She's Russian, and her father was actually a Russian Orthodox priest. This is largely irrelevant, but casts an interesting light on what happened here in retrospect. A little after midnight, she got out of bed, left the apartment without a word. I was half asleep and sort of groaned at her as she walked out of the bedroom, but she just left without any explanation. I was now awake and puzzled, so I got up and started kind of pacing around to wait for her to return and explain herself. Was she mad at me? It was not like her to just leave like this. Half an hour went by. I'm starting to get concerned. Minutes continue to tick by. By now, I'm effing worried. This is not like her. She had no cell phone. She finally came back and asked me if she can have a cigarette, which, by the way, she doesn't smoke. Since she's acting out of character, I think she may be mad at me. I didn't ask too many questions right away. I just gave her the smoke and went outside the apartment to have one with her. Outside, she offers no explanation as to why she left. She's not mad at me. She doesn't even say she just went out for air or something like that. I probed her a bit, asking her where she went. She said she just walked around the block and stared at the sky. She seemed completely oblivious to how weird it was to just get out of bed in the middle of the night to go for a walk. And I was a bit weirded out by her general demeanor at this point. She seemed almost dazed. I was a bit spooked by this, as I had just read the Necronomicon, and I was thinking about the fact that this was now the early morning of June 6, 2006, and my superstitious curiosity was piqued. This isn't even the paranormal part, though. This was just the beginning of the 06-06-06 a day, which I would find myself recounting for years to come. So, her mysterious little walk cast a superstitious glow on the day, and when we finally got back to the apartment that evening and got into bed, the light fixture on her ceiling above us falls and smashes all over us and the bed. We were a little bit weirded out by it. There was no bang from above to sort of dislodge the fixture. It was silence, then smash. Shards of glass everywhere, and the flooring was carpet. We decided it was best to drag the mattress while we were sleeping out of the bedroom into the adjacent living room and wait until morning to clean it up. We dragged it out carefully, avoiding glass shards, plopped it down on the floor outside her bedroom, closed the bedroom door behind us, and lay back down to go to sleep. After about 20 minutes of lying in silence, we both hear objects in the room being tossed around as if someone is trashing the place. It goes on for about 5 or 6 seconds, which felt like an absolute eternity, to hear a stranger smashing everything in your home and then begin whispering to each other in a panic. We were both frozen with fear. Let me take a moment to emphasize something. There were upstairs neighbors who occasionally made noise, sometimes even a lot of noise. This was not someone in the upstairs apartment. The proximity of this sound, the volume, the clarity, this sound was coming from inside that bedroom, on the other side of a door we were standing right next to. I finally got up the nerve after about 5 minutes to go and check it out, expecting to see a pack of rats or someone robbing us. Nothing. There was nobody in there. Nothing had been touched. The shards of glass remained. Fast forward 7 years. So too does my terror. Next story. This is not really my story. It was my friend's story. As a frame of reference, he and I were friends since high school, but the shared experience only came to light several months ago after he experienced his situation and told me about it. The conversation happened over the phone. I now live in California, and I remember it was at some ridiculous hour for both of us. He lives in the UK, But at the time of this event, he was visiting a family member, an uncle, about 20 kilometers northeast of Cobourg, Ontario. That's relevant only because it means he was demonstrably out in the sticks, as he put it. His uncle owned a nice house and a large plot of land, but he didn't work it like his neighbors. This was farmland, but he was the owner of a small construction company and had done well enough to own a lot of acreage without the need to do anything productive with it. He kept a parcel of it around the house well manicured, but beyond that, there was a lot of bush that was wilds, stretching over a click in any direction from the house. You apparently got to this place by heading up one of those ridiculously long and unpleasant dirt driveways that people with land tend to have. My friend said it was ironic, given his uncle's job. He focused mainly on infrastructure contracts, roads, bridges. Anyway, his uncle had some money in an area that didn't really have much. He also had arguably the nicest house and nicest lawn and the largest, ugliest, most unkept plot of land in the area. My friend, like his uncle, but he acknowledged he was not a popular man, either with his employees or with his neighbors. The uncle knew this. So when he decided to head to the Florida Keys with his girlfriend, post-second ex-wife, he decided to fly my friend into town to house sit. My friend was just finishing his own first divorce and needed a break from the UK and the nobody but his wife that he knew there. So he had no premonition of bad things, no sense of foreboding like I did. He showed up with just a suitcase of clothes. The house was stocked with food and booze and 1,000 cable channels, Wi-Fi, and an outdoor hot tub, which, by the way, is an amazing thing in winter in Canada. He'd been there a couple of days, was spending a total of 8 there by himself, when the first real snowfall started happening. In Canada, at the start of winter, you'll generally get a couple days or weeks of fitful, wispy snow that doesn't have the endurance or weight to stick around for more than an hour. But after a while, the cold seeps into the ground, the flakes suddenly get heavy, and one day, or in this case, night, you're looking at a calm, heavy snowfall that you know will change the landscape in a couple of hours. That was a night like that. My friend decided, since it wasn't abominably cold outside and that he'd already had a couple of beers, that it would be a great idea to flip open the lid in the hot tub and soak while it snowed. He's right. It really is a spectacular idea, and if you ever get the chance to be in a hot tub outside when it's snowing, I recommend it, especially at night. For anyone who's never been in heavy snowfall, not a blizzard that involves heavy snow and high winds, and makes everything extremely peaceful, this is because you lose sight of almost everything beyond a couple of hundred feet, and it gets incredibly quiet. Snow is a great sound insulator, and as it falls around you in heavy curtains and slowly builds up on the ground, you get less and less of the ambient noise you're used to. So even what little there was that night in winter in the country, even that went away. All he could hear was the compressor on the central heating unit and the bubbles in the tub. The water jets in the tub were timed to go off after 15 minutes and had to be turned on by poking a button if he wanted more. So after 20 minutes, he was sitting in silence. The only noise he heard were of the house settling in the cold under the weight of the new snow and whatever sounds he made himself. The only lights he had were in the tub and coming from the sliding door that led to the kitchen, but he was facing away from the house, looking out over the property and rolling landscape that described much of the farmland outside of Cobourg. He described this next part as very similar to my experience. He was considering going inside for another drink, staring absentmindedly down into the water of the pool, zoning out on the refracted light from the bulb underneath. When he looked up, he saw a shape darker than everything around it, slowly moving across the yard, about a quarter of the distance out from the edge of the woods where he was. He didn't hear any snow crunch footfalls or hear any twigs or branches snapping. He assured me it was quiet enough to hear a pin drop. He watched it for a few minutes. It was moving extremely slow, so much so he couldn't determine if it was actually walking or just moving. He decided to call out to it, hoping it was a neighbor or, as he puts it, some hot chick wanting to warm up in the jacuzzi. It froze. It went so still, my friend had trouble seeing it anymore. My friend was scared too. He was in his underwear outside in the cold in a tub of water. He felt pretty exposed. He shifted his head slightly and confirmed that it was still there. It was blocking the lighter snow-covered pines behind it. At this point, he killed the lights in the hot tub which made sense at the time. He wanted to be able to see whatever it was better, and the lights were interfering with that. As soon as the light went out, the thing started moving toward my friend, faster this time, at a steady walk. It was at this time he noticed that it had no defined edge. It was vaguely man-shaped, two arms, two legs, a head, and very thin. My friend said at this point he wigged out. He threw his empty beer bottle at it, which had no effect at all, and then lurched out of the hot tub, across the deck, and into the kitchen. He slammed the sliding door shut, and when he did, he slipped on the tile floor. He grabbed for the counter, but got a mason jar of flour or sugar instead, and that went sailing off to explode all over the kitchen floor. So there he is, sitting on the floor, surrounded by broken glass and flour, back against the counter, sliding door to his left. He pushed the rest of it shut with his left foot and looked out. It was standing just at the other side of the hot tub, and he swore it was looking up directly at him. It's a lot easier to see now, and he remembered it being like a bad animation of dense black scribbles, or like a weird twitchy transmission from a sci-fi movie. There were those vertical gray plastic blinds on the sliding door, so he reached up for the pull chain and drew them down across the window and shuttered them. He said he sat there, afraid to move, for over an hour, until he calmed down and reassured himself a dozen times he'd been drunk or sleepy and made it all up. Then he remembered laughing at how pissed his uncle was going to be. The mason jar had cracked a floor tile when it landed. Construction people hate that stuff. So he gingerly got up, noted a few bruises and a cut, and then spent about 20 minutes sweeping and wiping up the mess. By then, after another beer to calm his nerves, he decided that being afraid of the dark was BS and he wanted to go back outside to soak his bruises before bed. He remembered really having to work hard to open the blinds. He compared it to the first time he jumped off a full-size diving board when he was a kid. He stood up there for 15 minutes, screwing up the courage to make the jump. He said this felt exactly like it. Most of him wanted to lock up all the doors and hide in bed until morning. But my friend is extremely stubborn, and not a little macho, even alone. Finally, he started opening the blinds. He also turned on the exterior porch light before he went out. He stepped out into the cold and saw absolutely nothing weird. All signs of the weird black man shape were gone. He stared into the woods all around the yard that he could see and found nothing at all. He remembered being unsettled by something when he was looking around, but couldn't figure out what. So he took his fresh beer and got back into the tub. He'd been there relaxing for about 10 minutes when he glanced up to find his beer, saw it, grabbed it, and got a mouthful of snow. He remembered staring at the bottle for a few moments, completely confused. Then he looked around and saw another beer sitting on his other side. His fresh beer. He could still see the liquid in it. He was holding the bottle he threw. Still in a state of shock, like just before it hits you, he looked out over the yard and saw tracks all over it. All the same footprint, which was in the shape of a foot, but missing separate toes, all the way up to the hot tub. And the part that put him over the edge, I would have already evacuated my bowels by now, was that not one of the tracks got within 10 feet of the edge of the lawn. None of them started at the edge of the woods. They all started and ended in the yard. At this point, with the last bit of stubbornness violently erased, he bolted inside, left the tub running all night because screw it. He closed and locked the sliding door, flicked on the security system, and ran upstairs to the guest room and played video games with the lights cranked until he saw light outside. The next morning, he ate breakfast, bundled up, and went outside to scope the area in the daylight. It had kept snowing all night, but the tracks and their disposition were still pretty visible. The only thing different was the hot tub had been closed and turned off. Several hours of snow lay on top of it, along with two empty beer bottles. Next story. This is a story I remember that my uncle said. He was regarded as the crazy uncle in our family. He could have made the whole thing up. He told everyone in the family so many times that my grandfather told him never to say it again, or he wouldn't get an inheritance. Anyway, this supposedly happened in the early 90s, maybe 91. My uncle said he was visiting a few friends in the U.S. and they planned to go hiking and camping in a national park or forest or something. Again, he hadn't told a story for about 10 years, so details were a bit sketchy. My uncle said that right from the start, something seemed off. One of his friends kept looking off into the woods as if looking for something while they were walking along a trail, and a couple of times, there seemed to be sounds coming from where they were looking. On the first few nights, they slept in tents and nothing out of the ordinary happened. Then, on the third day, they reached the cabin owned by one of my uncle's friends and stayed there a couple more nights before heading home. These nights at the cabin are when my uncle said everything went down. Apparently, the friend, who had been constantly looking off into the woods, seemed a little on edge earlier in the trip, but now he seemed super agitated. The first night at the cabin, they heard his horrific scream, very high-pitched, off in the woods, but thought little of it, assuming it was a coyote or something. But apparently this scream made the agitated guy even more so. Over the stay, they were constantly woken during the night by moaning noises or by knocking sounds, like someone tapping on the side of the cabin with a branch or something. There were also sounds of things on the roof, things scrambling under the cabin. It was elevated off the ground. And apparently, on the last night at like 4 a.m., there was a huge crashing sound which woke them all up and brought them running into the living room, which the front door opened directly into. The front door had a bunch of big cracks in it, and they saw what seemed to be a large, dark figure in the window, silhouetted by the moonlight, which seemed to move slightly, then disappear. When they checked the door in the morning, it looked like something had been smashed into it, leaving a big mark where the wooden door had been crushed. They freaked out and got out of there as soon as possible. On the way out, the agitated friend revealed what had been worrying him. Apparently, one of his friends, and he had planned to scare everyone by having his friend dress up in a bear costume and follow them through the forest, then lunge out of the woods at them on the last night before the cabin. This friend had seen his buddy going into the woods in his bear suit, saw him following them on the first day, and had been fake about worrying about the bear. And then on the second day, the bear friend, he wasn't seen, and the guy had become worried for him, especially after hearing the scream a few nights later. This spooked everyone even more, because the guy who disappeared was apparently an experienced hiker who shouldn't have had any trouble in the woods. Apparently, there was a general feeling that whatever had smashed the cabin door had been out in the woods with this guy, and you only had to connect the dots to see this guy's fate. There was a search for him with the police and such, but apparently it didn't last too long, and only a half-empty water bottle and a hat were found, unknown if they even belonged to the guy. The friend who owned the cabin put it up for sale a few days later. Most of them thought it was a bear or some psychopath messing with him, but my uncle, who has always been quite religious, says it was a demon who was stalking them. Apparently he felt guilty because he was a minister or pastor, whatever they call it, and the demon has specifically been after him, which is why the friends had never experienced anything similar before. I remember the last time it was brought up at Christmas, 10 years of my grandfather, silenced my uncle by saying, "You experienced a Sasquatch, big deal. Now shut the hell up and let me eat my potato." I remember that exactly because my grandma made a poster of that quote and keeps it on their wall.